privilege. Good morning to my Blog Talk listeners and to my Running for Christ Ministries family. It is Saturday, and y'all, today we are for show going to school. So get your Bibles, your coffee, pens, papers, get ready. We're going to do the work today of going deeper into we believe, not just knowing what we believe, being able to recite, quote, and say things, but know why we believe these things, our foundation. So with that, let me open in prayer. Father, this morning, we thank you for the privilege to call you Father, and to know that when we pull up to your table, we can eat, and we can eat until we're full. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just overflow and pour out and open up minds and hearts that are ready to hear and receive what you have for them this morning. We thank you, because it's not possible without you, Jesus. We could never even begin to comprehend how great you are if you had not come and done what you've done for us. So we thank you, for it in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I hope you got your papers.
Good morning.
Good morning. That we're going to deviate a little. I know I was saying on Saturday I was going to go into the parables, but I'm actually going to take a little kind of summer class, if you would, do a class called God is in Control. Has anybody ever used that phrase?
Yeah.
All the time.
We got a couple folks. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
We say God is in
control. Absolutely.
We say it. And it's okay to say it, but do we really understand what we're saying?
Me, I would say, go ahead. I was always taught he was in control of everything.
Okay, you were taught it. All right, that's good. Anybody else?
Well, I believe that he's in control, but do we always let him be in control?
Because
a lot of times we feel that, you know, it's not the right amount of time, or he's taking too long, or we can make it happen in a shorter time. You know, that's the way I am anyway. You know, I'm speaking for myself, but, yeah.
All right. And anybody else?
Okay.
All right. So when we say this from now on, as we go through these lessons, we'll pull back and get a bigger picture of what God, why God created the earth. You know, we're going to answer what they call some existential questions. It's the existing questions, foundational questions that everybody asks. And one of the things we need to understand when we talk about the kingdom, that we believe in the kingdom, and we know what is the kingdom, according to our definitions.
God reign and rule the way he intended it to be here on earth.
All right. So, and for those of you who have your papers, I did list that definition again because you're going to need the definitions we're going to be working with today to go forward.
Okay.
But yes, the kingdom of God, when we say kingdom as believers, we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which are the same thing. And it is God's reign in the world as he intended from the beginning. In other words, it literally is. God is in control. So we're going to expound on it. We're going to make it bigger, and we're going to see the bigger picture that's going on here. All right. We have a key verse, if somebody would read that, found in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15.
What did you say, Reed?
It's the key verse on your sheet.
The seventh angel? Well, I don't know what you have. What do you guys have? Is it the one that says the seventh angel?
Yes, you're in the right place.
The seven angels sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15, NIV.
Yes, thank you. Now, have we heard Have we heard this voice, this verse, in a song?
And he will reign forever.
Yes.
Forever.
Handel's Messiah. Yes. Handel wrote it right from the book. It is. That's what. And so that phrase, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's right out of the book. So next time you hear it sung at Christmas time, hopefully you're listening to the more updated version. But anyway, when you hear that, it's something, because we only usually hear it around Christmas. But just like Joy to the World, it is not a Christmas song. It is a kingdom song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her
King.
Wow.
Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. So you've got your Jeopardy trivia question for today. Somebody needs to phone a friend in the future. They'll be calling on you. All right. Somebody read the definitions that we are going to be working with through these first two parts, part one and part two of God is in Control, of a nation and an empire. What's a nation?
A large body of people united by common descent, history, culture, or language, inhabiting a particular country or territory. And your favorite words, the Greek words, what is it, genos?
Is genos, family, yes.
Family, offspring, ethnos, is a mixed multitude of humans.
Okay.
And empire.
All right.
A major political unit which the metropolis or single sovereign authority exercises control over a territory of great extent or several territories or peoples through formal annexations or various forms or informal domination.
All
and
right.
The kingdom of God, heaven, God or heaven, is the reign of God in the world as he intended it to be in the beginning. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, brother.
You're
all
welcome.
Right. So we got those definitions. Keep them close, because we're going to refer back to them, because we need to understand, and especially when we're answering question number one. So while I'm talking, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1, and let's find out who is God and what did he create. So somebody read Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay. And now drop down and read verses 26 through 28.
Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings. Oh,
keep going. I'm sorry.
So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Amen.
All right. So now, the first, when we're first introduced, when you open your Bible, you get first introduction of God. Who is God?
The creator.
What did he create?
The heavens and the earth.
So what does that encompass?
Interesting.
Everything in existence.
Everything in existence God created. So up front, God introduces himself and says, I'm the creator, and all this I made.
Right.
Right. So that's pivotal, because if I'm going to write a book about myself, I'm going to introduce you to who I am, especially if I'm going to write a book which is going to tell stories about other people. or if I'm going to write books that are going to tell about other people in the book, I want to introduce myself up front. So this is what God did in the beginning when he reveals himself to us, because the word is God's revelation to us. He reveals himself first and foremost as creator of everything. So we can't get it twisted. Anybody else created anything?
No.
Not especially, because we know later on he said, let there be. He spoke everything into existence. So that's the fancy word is ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Yeah, which is out of nothing. He spoke everything into existence.
Yep.
So that's crazy, and it's wild, but it kind of lets you know that whoever God is, he is way far above anybody we know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really what the word holy means, like no other, far above. So when the angels say holy, that's really what they're saying. There is nobody like you. There is nobody. It's nothing under creation, nothing above you. Nobody, anybody. Okay. So God created. Now, what did he create? This is what we need to get to, because this is going to help us move. We know he created all the animals and everything, but what else did he create in verses 26 through
28? Man.
He created mankind, human beings.
Oh,
and
yes,
what were
right.
they supposed to do?
Have dominion over everything in the earth.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion to rule with who?
With
authority.
With God. To rule with God.
Oh, my bad.
That's okay. To rule with God, which, because you said authority, and God is, since he is the author.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He's the authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't far off. So everybody was, humankind was created to rule with God. We have a picture of this on earth right now. We just saw it a little over a month ago. Somebody, mama died, and then they got moved into mama's place.
Oh, the king.
King Charles over there, they named him the third, I think he is. All right. So you see, and so what were Charles and his mother?
Royalty.
Royalty. What else are they? William, Kate, Harry.
Their heir.
Philip.
Of the throne.
Philip, Andrew, all the other, Edward. And what are they all called? A what?
A kingdom.
I just named mama, son, grandchildren.
They're a family?
Family.
A family. What's the definition of nations?
Okay.
What is a genos?
Right. We just read that.
Genos is family. So a nation
large body
is what?
Of people united by common descent. History, culture,
and
language.
Yes. So in the beginning, what did God create?
A family.
Yeah. A family. Right. Created a family. All right. Now we answered our questions too. Got that framework in mind? Because we're going somewhere. You're going to enjoy this ride, because I've been tripping all week on it. I've been tripping for a few weeks on it. I was just going to say
when you drop down to 26, this lesson caused me to read, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." It caused me to read it differently. And let them have dominion. It's like, I kind of saw that as, that is his likeness.
And
by being
in a family,
charge.
But think of a family. What do you notice about a family? They have what?
They have a head to the household and then go from there?
Think more genetic.
Unity? Oh.
Yeah, they look alike. They move alike.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you can hear them talk and they talk alike.
There you go.
Okay.
So in the beginning, what did God create? People who he wanted to, look like physically represent what he was like, even though God is spirit, who would sound like God when they talk, who would do things that look like God doing things. Because remember, Adam was given, they were given charge of the earth to rule the earth. Mm-hmm. So they were supposed to be created. They're not, they were supposed to be helping what God create, recreate as God did. So in other words, when he gave plants and trees and seeds and plants and fruit to reproduce more fruit, the humans were supposed to facilitate that. They were kind of the keepers, if you would, of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
They were the keepers of earth. They were supposed to make sure, they were supposed to help with the fish and the birds. And remember, they've got dominion over all of this stuff. And at that time, they weren't fishing and hunting. So they were supposed to make sure that everything was working the way God wanted it to work on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of us that grew up, especially if you grew up in a big family and you had a boss mama like I had, she made sure that everybody was working in the house to make sure everything wanted it to go the way she wanted it done. Family.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, God created family, and we get the word nation from this concept. But we're going to look and see what happens to the family. All right, and I'm enjoying this because it's kind of going to help us understand when we see what's going on in the world around us and we see what's under attack and what's being destroyed, which is what?
Family.
The family.
Yes. Yep.
Because there's another side that doesn't want to see God's will come to pass. But we already know anyway, we're getting ahead because now we already jumped to Jesus. But, okay, so God created family. Question two, what were humans created to do?
Have dominion.
Have dominion. What's another word for dominion?
Authority, control.
Rulership.
Rulership. Good, good, good. So you're right. This is a royal family God created. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes, because he gave them dominion to rule the earth and everything in it and on it. But were they supposed to overrule God?
Never.
No.
Why not?
Because he is the ultimate rulership.
And why is he ultimate ruler?
He was the creator.
Oh.
He gave them everything that they were to rule.
Y'all must have got good coffee this morning. Yes! So when we start with God being creator, we understand who's in charge, right?
Yes.
And when so anything he created should be submitted to his ultimate rulership. Remember, King Charles was Prince Charles up until last September.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even get divorced and remarried without the Queen's permission.
Oh, wow.
Because when she passed away and he became king, his sister was there, and his next heir, William, was there. And when the queen died, they said, the queen is dead, long live the king. and Anne and William bowed to King Charles because he's now the head. So when his position changed, he got people submitting to him who before did not submit to him.
Okay.
I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but I want you to get a bigger picture again of what's going on. So when God created humans to rule with him, we are to submit to God's rulership mm-hmm. because he is creator. You got that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now let's get into the ugly part. What happened to humans? Question 3. Somebody read Genesis chapter. We're not going to read all of Genesis chapter 3 and 4, but somebody give me a brief as to what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Just a little summary.
Right.
They ate the fruit and got kicked out.
They did what?
They submitted to the serpent and ate the fruit and got expelled. They did exactly what God told them not to do.
Disobeyed God.
Mm-hmm.
They threw off his rulership. And I know I heard somebody say about the fruit, they ate the fruit, but really the fruit was the action. The sin was in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
They had a choice. They knew they could eat off any tree they wanted to, but they were forbidden for the one tree. They had a choice. Mm-hmm. Do we submit to God and do what he said, or do we do what we really want to do? Because the serpent really was, he was slick, he was crafty, but at the end of the day, he did not have power over them. Remember, yeah. God created them to do what?
Have dominion.
Have dominion over everything.
Yeah. So they didn't have to do what he wanted them to. They could have said, you know, kick rocks, get out of here.
Yeah. I never looked at it like that. So they had rulership over the one that was approaching them?
Yes. And they were given dominion over the earth.
So
they were in their territory.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. Makes sense.
All right. So they ultimately, their sin was their rebellion against God's rule.
Okay. I never heard that.
They could have told that snake to sit down.
Okay.
They could have locked him up and said, treason.
They could have taught him to go to HELL. That's what they should have taught him.
They should have known what they were dealing with. Oh, wait. They were dealing with something that was greater than a serpent, but we won't get into that because that's a whole other class. All right.
Oh, yeah. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I had to refill my juice this morning, my coffee. Mm-hmm. All right. So good. So we got that. So they rebelled against and they submitted to another. They threw off God's rule, and because of that, it put them under. They're still under God's rule, though, right? Because what did God do?
Would he let them? I mean. At some point, he let them remain there because he, I don't know why.
While he forgave them. No, he didn't. I was going to say he had mercy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's mercy. Good one.
Because
thank
Adam
you,
and Eve are who? They're his what?
Children.
His creation.
They're his family. He's got a plan mm-hmm. for his family.
Okay.
So if I kill my family, so God chose mercy. This is where we see God's love. And then we know we got Genesis 3:15 in there where God says that he pronounces to the serpent, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And then he covered them when they realized because of what happened that they were naked. They had been naked all along. There were no Macy's or any place for that. They had always been naked. But now evil enters in, and evil sees nakedness different. I mean, you know, when a baby comes into the world, what kind of outfit is he wearing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's naked.
How many of you all take showers fully dressed?
Say that again.
How many of us take flop showers fully dressed?
Never.
Most of us, when we take showers, we're not dressed, are we?
True.
No.
So there's nothing wrong with nakedness. But when evil enters in, somebody needs to let the dog in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I muted it. Uh-oh.
Okay, that's okay. You have to train yours to do like mine. He sleeps during class. Anyway. Okay, let's get back to nakedness. So anyway, God, when God sees the evil, what evil has now entered in, they are covered. But what happens in Genesis chapter 4 between the next part of this family that comes into being?
Who was the sons of Noah? Oh,
chapter 4.
Shem and Ham.
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel.
The first conflict and murder that we know about. Well, I know it is the first.
That's number 4.
So listen, letter A for those of you who are trying to fill in your sheet is that rebellion against God's rule. That was the first thing that happened to humans. All right. And then letter B, we got Cain and Abel, and we have the first conflict that leads to murder, right? Yeah. All right. Now, let's go to chapter 6, and I need somebody to read verses 5 through 7 of Genesis chapter 6.
The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them.
Okay, so now we're going to get B and C answered here. So let's see, B, Cain killed Abel, right?
Excuse me, James.
Yes.
Did you give her out another paper with those questions on it?
Pastor sent it out on Tuesday, I believe it was.
Oh, okay. You know what?
It's posted on our website.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. That way it keeps you from taking a whole bunch of notes today. All right. So we have the rebellion of Adam and Eve, or mankind, which their rebellion kicked off all of our rebellion. And then we have Cain killing Abel. What is that murder? What is that called when somebody does something against somebody else? Murder. It's an offense.
Offense, yeah.
It's some other words I'm looking for. We have a strong word for it. like if you grab somebody and shake them real hard, especially if you do it to a child. What is it called?
Abuse.
Violence?
Abuse. What'd you say?
Abuse.
Not abuse, but violence.
Violence.
Violence enters the picture, which abuse is. It's violence, a form of violence. So the overall word is violence. So that's what comes into the world. Now, because the rebellion, we go from the rebellion to violence. Now, what did God create? He created a what?
A family.
A family. Now, I don't know if y'all household, but in my household, there was one rule when it came to each other.
We don't fight family.
We do not fight family. We do not fight family. My mother enforced that, and to this day, I am grateful because that keeps us close. We're not against each other. We don't argue with each other. And when our younger generations start getting into it, we remind them of this. Because God abhors violence. She just read it in, if you go back and do your own reading in Genesis 6, there's something that's going on, and you got to do a lot of research to find out about the Nephilim and the sons of God, and there's something that enters the earth that is different, because evil has come in. And what before was now people coexisting, family getting along, now we got family killing each other. And once family kills each other, what happens to the next generation? They become more violent.
Worst level.
Yep. Every it doesn't get better. It continues to get worse. And some of you all have real examples in your family of sins or violent or things in your family line. I always say, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. You know, so you see things in them more than. So this is what happens from Genesis 4 through 6, that the world becomes increasingly more violent to the point what happens at the end of in what she just read. What did God say?
I regret that I made them.
It grieved God that he had made humankind. Did he create violent people?
No.
No.
He created a what?
A family.
A family to rule with him, to get along with each other, to partner with him, to be fruitful, to multiply and make more people who will partner with him in ruling the earth. But now we got a group, now we got people that are doing what to each other?
Right.
Killing each other.
Killing each other. Sexually violating each other. Because that's what's going on in the beginning of chapter 6. So we got all kinds of violence going on because evil is now present. And what comes evil comes all of these things that we call sins, but they're not the root cause of sin is the root. So it's like murder, robbery, and all these things. They're not the cold. They're the symptoms of the cold. So it grieved God. So this is what happens to humankind. They go from being this loving family that God created, working together, that equal partnership in husband and wife, Adam and Eve, to they rebel against God, they become violent, and then it grieves God that he even made humans. He's hurting. He's grieving like a family member has died. I know a couple families today that are going through that process. You know, so that loss of that relationship, not just with God, but with each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, let's get to chapter 10. Let's see how far we'll get today. Chapter 10, somebody read. We know what happened in chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, right? About Noah. God deciding to flood the earth.
Oh, yes.
And he wipes out. Somebody read chapter 10, verse 1. Wait, did I skip anything? Let me make sure I covered mine. No, go back. Read chapter 7, verses. Go back to chapter 7 and read verses 20 through 23. Genesis 7, 23-23.
Rising more than 20 feet above the highest peaks, all living things on earth died. Birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the people, everything that breathes and lives on dry land died. God wiped out everything on earth, people, livestock, and small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky. All were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat.
Thank you. All right. So we get when God grieved that he made the earth, God destroyed everything on the earth. He wipes it out. Except for who?
Noah and his family.
Noah and his family. Noah and his what?
Family.
Noah and his what?
Family.
Why did they get spared?
Because of their daddy.
What did he
Noah.
Do? What did he do?
He did according to what God had it planned.
He obeyed God.
Right.
What did God tell Noah to do?
At some point, he asked him to build a ship, an ark, really.
Okay. And then had it rained on earth up until that point?
Yes, yes. No, it hadn't rained yet.
No,
it hadn't rained yet. Not at all.
It was like it was here a couple weeks ago.
It was like a fool building it.
I'm sure. All
yeah.
right, but so it happened. So God tells Noah to build this giant boat and put these animals in it, and
mm-hmm.
Noah's like, nobody goes to sea, nobody does this, but he builds it anyway. He obeyed God. He listened to God. He processed what he said, and then he acted on it. You're going to find that out a little bit in Sunday school tomorrow and class later on today what that means. Okay, so he did this. He obeyed God, and God not only spared him, but God kept a family intact. Because what did God create?
Everything.
A family for
everything.
Him.
He created a family, and what did he want this family to do?
Have
dominion.
Be fruitful and multiply.
Yes. So God saved a remnant. God keeps a remnant. Now we get to chapter 10 and verse 1. Somebody read it, and let's see who that remnant is.
These are the family records of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They also had sons after the flood.
Okay, so now, Noah, flood's over, every dry land, everything's back, they go back out. Who were Noah's sons?
Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Shem,
Ham, and Japheth. Now, I don't know what your Bibles say, but above the 10, there is a heading that is put there. If the NIV says, they calls, anybody got the NIV? Or what does the heading say above chapter 10?
The Table of Nations.
Yes. What's a nation? You can go back and read the definition.
A large body of people united by common descent.
So, and then the Greek definition, the Greek word genos, it is a
family.
Offspring. Whose offspring are these? Noah's offspring. So from Noah, we get the new nations, because they're not going to stay together. They're each going to go to different places in the region. They're not going to be far from each other. But they're nations, but yet and still, they are what?
Family.
Family.
La familia.
Yes. So what I want you to get into, to, if you don't get anything else, family, nations, same thing. Because they're all what?
United.
They're united because they have the same
father.
Who's creator?
God is.
So if he's the creator, that means he's the what?
He's the father
of these nations.
So God is replicating on earth what it's like in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Father with a family. Now we have Noah, who is a father with a family. Because
okay.
Who's the source of all families?
God is.
So how many families really are there?
One.
You get the car, Loretta.
Thank
you. Soon as we find somebody to pay for it.
All right.
Yes. So understand this, Shem, Japheth, Ham. Everybody, if you read through that chapter 10, which I'm encouraging you to do that for yourself, because it's just so much reading, when you read through that, you see. So we run around here pointing at other people, saying them and those people, and they're not like us. But we are all what?
Family.
All right, do different groups have different blood types?
Yes,
different people have different blood types, but there are how many blood types?
Three.
Yeah, A, B, O, yeah, three basically.
Yeah.
Anybody got a G blood type? D blood type? X blood type? You're either somewhere in the A, a combination of A and B, or an O, and then the O's vary. Those are the only three blood types. Because, wait a minute. Because we know that number three has a special meaning to God. But also, that means that we're all, and I'm O negative, so I'm a universal donor. I can give to everybody.
Okay.
Because we're all one what?
Family.
One family.
Yes. So this racism stuff is pretty against God, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is.
Yes, it is. All right. So let's look at these nations and find out what happened to them, and then we'll conclude for today. Go to Genesis chapter 11, and somebody read verses 1 through 9 of Genesis chapter 11, and let's find out what happened to Noah's descendants.
At one time, all the people of the world. Wait a minute. Is that right?
Yeah.
At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." And in this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. He said, "The people are united and they all speak the same language." After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Excuse me. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other. In that way, the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the cities. That is why the city is called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. Excuse me. Because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. Amen.
All right. Now, so let me go back, because I'm hoping again that you'll go back and read these whole chapters. And if you got time this week, you can actually read from Genesis 1 through 11. When they came off the ark with Noah and his three sons, God gave Noah the same command that he had given in the beginning. Chapter 9, verse 7 will tell you, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." So God's plan for his family, did it change?
No.
It did not.
No.
He's consistent
because God is in control. So he gives them the same command that he gave the first human, to multiply, to increase, which they were doing. But then because evil is now present and that rebellious spirit is there, you'll read about the people, Nimrod and Lamech and all these different people who were more violent, and they're more we're going to get into Nimrod a little bit more later as we get into empires. But when you see these people and they come together, because they all, remember, they're family, so there's only one language on earth. They're all speaking the same language. But because of their desire to build a tower and not only build a city, they not only build a city for themselves, but to build a tower, there's a whole lot to that underneath. They were basically trying to get up to God, get to heaven. God confused their language. But yet and still, remember in our definition of language, of nations, a large body of people united with common descent. All
oh,
these
yeah.
peoples, when you read through chapter 10, all these names, all these children, who begot who, and who his children were, and his children, and his children, when you read them, they still had the common descent because they've all descended from Noah. They have the same history. At this time, they have the same culture. But because of their rebellion at Babel, God confuses their language, and now they no longer have the same language, but they're still the same family.
That's different.
Wow.
So you know, so if some of us have relatives in different countries that live in different places and they speak like French or Spanish, I know Mother Luisa, when she was alive, she spoke Spanish because she was from Dominican. So same family. Crystal was her daughter, but her mother spoke a different language. They still family.
Mm-hmm. Good
they
example.
Still have a common. They still have a common descent. They still have a similar history. They still have some culture. They have cultural similarities. I'm sure Crystal can go more deeper into that when she gets with us. But their language is different. Was different. Their initial languages were different. So now, as you go forward from Babel, the people scatter because they can't communicate with each other. But remember this, they're still, even though now they become many nations, they're still one family. But evil is always present. And evil is always going to cause a problem. All right. So, got a little quiz question for you. So can you name at least, I didn't put a number, it's supposed to be four, F-O-U-R, and I'll put F-O-R, four nations in Genesis. So four different groups of people that we've encountered in the book of Genesis. If you look over one page or in chapter 10, it'll help you.
I don't know. Let me see. Chapter
who were the sons of Noah?
Oh, okay.
Jephthah, Ham, and Jason.
Okay.
And
Seth. Let's look at one person that came from Japheth. Just name one that came from Japheth. Chapter 10, verse 3.
And this was Gomer.
Gomer. Okay.
Gomer.
All right. All right. Now let's look at the Hamites. Any names look familiar in there?
Cush.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then when you look at
Canaan.
Canaan. What you know about Canaan?
That he was Ham's son, not Noah's.
Mm-hmm.
And he was cursed by Noah.
Yeah. And so, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it is still taught even to this day in some seminaries that won't change their policy, that black people, because we're descendants of Ham, are cursed by God. But if you read this text carefully, who did Noah curse? God didn't curse anybody.
Noah cursed him. God said he doesn't curse what he blesses, or he doesn't curse those he has blessed.
Mm-hmm. So, and Noah cursed Canaan, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he didn't curse man.
Curses the devil.
Yeah. So when you hear that, if you hear that taught, get with somebody and say, let's look at the scripture carefully. Mm-hmm. Noah, in his drunken, hungover stupor, jumped up and cursed Canaan. God never cursed Canaan.
God never did.
Just like in the garden, God never cursed man, women, and men. He told them what the consequences of their rebellion would be.
Amen.
Because his plan is always for his family. You don't curse your family.
You bless them.
You bless your family. Exactly. He wants the family to be what?
Blessed.
Fruitful.
Blessed. So they're going to be, blessed means they're going to be fruitful. They're going to multiply.
Have dominion.
And have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but because they're rebellious, they've not submitted to the will of God. Not everybody. Some do. And we're coming to a man who does. You know. And so when you're rebellious, you submit. So Nimrod, go ahead.
You suffer the consequences of your actions.
Yes.
From being rebellious.
Just like in a family. But do you get kicked out of the family?
No.
You can't get kicked out. You're still family. Still got the
still
same
family.
Father.
And the blood.
So what we're going to look at going forward is we're going to look at nations next and what happens to some of these nations. How, answering the question, how did we get here? Because we're supposed to be family. How did we get to the place where we have all this violence, hatred, racism, just all this crazy, and then the kingdom under God's rule, it's not supposed to be this way. And people who are submitted to the rule of God should not act this way. Not knowing what we believe, but why we believe it. Because when you understand why, it motivates you to do what you're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, school.
Amen.
Y'all are getting something out of this.
We are.
Yeah.
We're going to move forward next week. And if you need a recap, that's with Sunday school in a few weeks. We're a few weeks behind in Sunday school, but we're going to go back over this again in Sunday school and in Lady Saturday class, because I think this is something the Lord wants everybody to understand. He is in control. His plan has not changed, and his plan can never be thwarted. And with that, that is my prayer. Amen, and have a blessed, beautiful Saturday, the rest of you all. Kat, you are
here. Hey, blessed, beautiful Saturday. Thank you, Sister Janice. Getting back to the family. Another great lesson. God created family, and we all are one family. I love that. Gotta get back to it. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Sister Janice, for another great lesson. We know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
All right. Busy and beautiful.
Yes. Okay. You guys, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and after this selection, we're going to start our morning worship service.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. He has done great things for me. Bless the Lord. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to this Saturday morning worship service. I am your presiding person, Kathy Clyburn, for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, good morning. It's always a pleasure to take part in Saturday's worship service. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on the flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses. Jesus the King is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. He has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule and will come again as a final judge to rule. Amen. Ephesians 1, 3 through 11, and it is entitled Spiritual Blessings. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to bring, fulfill his own plan, fulfill his own good plan, and this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask you to heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Loretta Welch, for that this morning. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praise, O?
Every prayer, every prayer, every prayer, I thank God for everybody who does anything for me. But guess what? Every praise belongs to God, because if they did it for me, he touched their heart to do it. He gave them the wherewithal to do it. Amen. And then got them to do it. So I thank them that they listened to the Lord and did what the Lord led them to do. But every praise belongs to God. That Saturday church school was awesome, wasn't it? Yes, indeed. I'm loving that. I am loving that. You know what? When we look at our lives, sometimes they can be rough, very rough. Sometimes things happen that we don't understand. But I'm always reminded of what the Lord said to us in Philippians chapter 4, where he said, don't worry about anything. Sounds kind of crazy in a world where you could worry about everything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Wow, if you can figure that out, tell God what you need. But he said, tell God, not me, not them, but God. And here's the part I love. Amen. After you tell God what you remember what God has already done as far back as you can remember. And think of all the times that you had hard times. Think of all the days that you probably didn't even want to live no more. Amen. When you look back, that's the last part before you get to perfect peace. It says, look back over what God has already done for you. And that ought to shore you up in the troubles that you're facing right now. Amen.
The goodness of God. Your my Redeemer, sent to a rugged cross. My Savior, bear my sins. My replacement took my place. My provider. Now I have. Come on, my Redeemer. Sent to a rugged cross. My Savior. Bear my sin. My replacement. Took my place. My provider. Now I have. Just the knowing. From the dead,
so I could rise
again. Awesome ruler,
crucified, just to
hope of glory, one day,
I
am grateful. He loved me enough. Just to know him. To know it.
Just to know him, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Pastor, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing and doing triple double duty is our very own shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall. Pastor O, pray to the Lord. Amen.
Holy Spirit move, 'cause when you have
something has to break. And whenever we get into a situation, we know that if the Lord allowed us to come to it, we should know he's going to bring us through it. We have too many examples in the Bible of folks who was on a mission for God, but then they came to it. And guess what? We read it. We saw it. God got them through it. Amen? So while we take this opportunity to talk to our Father in heaven, let's remember that God already knows. He's been waiting for us to come to him with it. And the most important thing that we can do is demonstrate to God that we trust him, we believe him, we rely on him only. And the best way you can do that is to give it to him and leave it with him. Get up like Hannah and go home like Hannah and eat again, sleep again, and trust God to do what God said he would do. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you that you thought about us. You didn't keep us closed up in your mind, but you allowed us to come out and become a historical person. We actually live. We are not a dream, as some have supposed, but we're real. Created by you, made to be like you, in your image, holy, in your likeness, righteous. And we thank you that you made us. We don't always like life, but we love life, and we love you for giving us life, and we especially thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us eternal life. We will never be out of your presence. You will always not just be around us, but you'll be in us. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, and because he's omnipresent, he's with us and in us. And you did that just because you wanted to. We didn't do anything to deserve the relationship we have with you, to deserve the life that we have. We didn't do anything to deserve anything that we have. You did it all because you wanted to. We thank you for being awesome and great. Lord, you could be evil. Well, you really can't. But imagine if you were, with all the power that you have, we would be destroyed. You said in the book of Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. Somebody asked the question this morning, why did you just save Noah and his family? Because you wanted to. Because you love family. Because Noah lived according to the word that was passed from Adam to him as best he could. He was living out your righteousness, living the way you want to in the face of a totally evil world. Everybody, all his peers, had left off following you. But the Bible says that you found favor with Noah. Amen. And his family. And so, Lord, we're here today because you wanted us here today. We are saved today because you purposed for us to be saved even before we were born. You said about Jeremiah, before your mother and father even came together, got married, and formed you in the womb, I knew you. Lord, you said that you didn't just know him, but you sanctified him, set him apart for your service. And then, Father, you didn't stop there. You said you ordained him. You gave him something to do. As all of us today who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been ordained. We've been given a gift, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, by the Holy Spirit himself. So before we were born, you knew us. Before we were born, you set us apart for your service. Before we were born, you had specific things for us to do, and you gave us those gifts when we were born again. We thank you, Father. We've not always responded to you the way you do to us and how good you've been to us, but we thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. So right now, we confess all our sins. We agree with you that you're right. We're wrong. And we thank you for the forgiveness you just gave us. We thank you for the cleansing that you're going to do in us. Lord, we thank you Father, we ask now for the sick that are running for Christ Ministries. You've made me the pastor there. You've made me your under-shepherd Jesus there. And so I'm talking to you about those who are on our sick list. Father, we thank you for the progress that you've made with Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks. And we're still waiting for complete healing and restoration, but we thank you already for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done with Elder Joseph Stevens. We know, Heavenly Father, that you've begun a work that you're going to carry out to completion, so we thank you. We thank you for putting Darius Freeman on the list. We know he's not actually on the list now, but we're asking you to get him on the list, and we know that you're going to do that. We're believing you to do that. We thank you for the work you've done with Brother Edward Johnson, and we're praying, Father, that you bring it to complete completion, that he be completely healed and restored. Father, there are many others on our list. We want the list cleared, and we know that you are more than able to do it. You asked a blind man one time who wanted to receive his sight. You just simply asked him, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And he said, "Yes, Lord." Well, we say, yes, Lord, we believe that you're able to do what we've asked you to do. So look now at our list. You can see it, Jesus. Even though I don't have it in front of me, but I have it in my head, you can see it. And you know everybody on it. And you can do something about it. Lord, we have, like you said, Jesus, in this life, trials and tribulations. And Lord, yes, we do have trials, and boy, do things trouble us. But, Father, when we look back at all the trials and look back at all the tribulations that we've already come through, we know it was nobody but you who brought us through. So we trust you to bring us home to you. You wrote over there in Revelation chapter 4 that we're standing there dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, crowned with the treasures that we've earned while we serve you in this world. So, Father, that tells me that nothing can stop me from getting there because you wrote it down. You have already decreed and declared that we'll be there. And I believe with all my heart, nobody can thwart your will. Nobody can stop you from doing what you said. Shall the Lord say a thing and not do it? Of course not. And so, Father, we thank you that all the problems we face, all the trials and tribulations that we go through, we'll get through and get to you. Why? Because you want us there. And, Lord, you know what things we have need of even before we ask you. And we know that you are not the kind of Father we can ask for a fish and get a stone. But you are a good and kind Father. And you know what we need. Even before you made us, you made everything that we could possibly need. Adam didn't even see the things we have today, but we need these things. And you gave them to us just because you wanted to. So, Father, we say yes to whatever it is your word says. You said in all our ways acknowledge you, and you'll direct our paths. So we're going to look into your word. And we're going to take every situation and every circumstance and apply it to your word and see which way we should go. And we're going that way. We're not asking you to give us the strength to go that way. We're not asking you to make us super spiritual to go that way. We're just saying, show us the way and we'll go that way. You've already given us what we need to do everything you've asked us to do. You've not asked us nothing to do that we cannot do. But you only asked us, now these things like Peter walking on water is going to require great faith. These things like the disciples getting caught up in storms is going to require great faith. We don't want to be the ones, Jesus, where you say, why are you of such little faith? We want to have big faith, Father. We want to have real faith. All we need is a mustard seed of faith and use that and we can move mountains. We don't need more. We just need to use what you've already given us. Lord, if we walk according to your word, there is nothing you won't do for us because we saw Jesus walk according to your word. And if he wanted dead people to raise, they were raised up. If he wanted blind people to see, they saw. But he said this, the words he spoke were not his, they were yours. The works that he did with his hands were not his, they were yours. And wherever he was, that's where you were. And that's where he wanted to be. And he always did those things that pleased you. Father, help us to mimic Big Jesus. Help us to do what Jesus did. He pleased you to the nth degree. He even stayed on the cross until you said, you can come on home. And that's when he said, it's finished. Your righteous and holy will had been accomplished. Jesus came and lived the life perfectly, satisfied all of the law. And then he said, it's finished. And then, Father, he turned to us and said, if you just believe in me, you won't perish. You'll have everlasting life. I will give you the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, where the Father will come and take up residence inside of us. Father, we thank you. And we praise you because you always think about us. You're always concerned about us. Father, there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now, a whole lot of people listening. I don't know what they're thinking or what they're saying or what they're going through, but you do. I pray, Father, their hearts are going out to you right now. And we're not Bruce Almighty. When everybody at once started praying, you can hear us all and answer us all. Without any problem at all. So it's in your name, Father, that we confidently, boldly approach your throne and make our requests known to you. And we thank you in advance for what we know you're going to do. Because these problems only come to make us strong, to help turn us into who we're going to be forever. We love you, Father. And we thank you for loving us first and loving us always. In the mighty name of Jesus, the name that gets heaven open, that causes blessings to rain down on us. In his name, Father, we thank you. We pray today for the Cooper family who is bereaved today because you've called from service to reward. Our brother Clinton Cooper, that one with that pretty smile, the one that make your whole face light up just when he give you that smile. The one who served the community, the one who served the neighborhood. Father, he even rode around in a van taking food to people who didn't have food to eat, who couldn't get out and go to the store. He made sure that they can get what they need. He was that kind, Father. He was truly a servant. And we thank you for his example. And we pray for his wife, Gwen, and for all of his family and friends. We're all mourning right now. But we're weeping. But we know, Father, that morning is coming because you can't stop it. In the evening and the morning were the first day. So we cannot stop what you started. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it all and ask your blessing on this family and every other bereaved family. In your name, Father, we ask it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Power and prayer. Power and prayer. Thank you, Pastor, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Thank you. Okay, so far we are having a great time this morning, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, it'd be a blessing to others, and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this next selection is our very own man of God, Pastor Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. So prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Pastor Jonathan Tate probably flipping over like, what? Okay.
Oh.
No, we have Elder Joseph Stevens.
Oh, Joseph Stevens. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. I'm glad he's back. Oh, we have our very own man of God. Oh, Associate Pastor, Brother Elder Joseph Stevens, one of my favorite pastors, and we are so glad you are back. Let it rip, Pastor. Now we're going to have a word from the Lord.
There's a man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love. The man love, yes I will. He says education is the thing if you want to compete, because without it son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day that I die. My mother loves him and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't have been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
I've got to color him father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color this man love.
Color him love.
Seven kids couldn't have gotten very far. She says she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took us in. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I've got to color this man father.
Color him father.
I'm gonna color him love.
Color him love.
Color this man love.
Color him love.
He's just been so good to me.
Color him father.
I know I've got to color him love.
Color him love.
I'm gonna color him father.
Color him father.
I've got to color this man love.
Color him love.
He's just been so kind. Color him
father. Color him father. Color him love. And that's colored after God the Father, who had so much love that he sent Jesus, his only son, to this earth to die for each and every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Good morning, Pastor Old Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministry, Blog Talk Radio family. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity. We bless and praise your holy name. Father God, we beseech you on behalf of each other that we will continue to walk like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to have the love and the compassion and the concern that Jesus had. And then, Father God, we bless your holy name. We continue to lift up Pastor O, Sister Sheila, all the Running for Christ family members. And then, Father God, we lift up the body of Christ, individually and collectively. And then, Father God, I thank you for another opportunity to preach and teach your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Last month, I dealt with what is a pastor of the church. They are the leader, the shepherd of our souls. And I really thought I was going to go forward with that. But God had another plan. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And that was the writer of Hebrews asking the people to pray for them as the leaders. Praying for our pastors, leaders, and shepherds was the real message
that I preached last time. Praying for each other, our brothers and sisters, the body of Christ is truly needed today. Pray that we first know and walk in our purpose that God has for each one of us. Pray that we are able to navigate through the challenges, the trials and tribulations we all face in life. Pray that we have a life of health, physical, mental, and most of all, spiritual. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let me start that again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. My subject today, where is your peace? Where is your peace? Who is your peace? Where is your peace? Who is your peace? All of us look to live and walk in peace daily. That's part of our hope. We want peace in our family. We want peace in our home. We want peace on our jobs. We want peace at the church. We want peace in meetings in our community. We want peace. But how many know? Often the peace we look for is not the peace that God is talking about. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. And be thankful. What does that really mean? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, we have trouble with that because we don't always thank God about everything. Let's be real. But in everything, give thanks. Is that really possible? Well, I ask the question. I want you to think about it. Is it possible to give God thanks in everything? The simple answer is yes, because it's the word of God. And that's what it said. Remember, Job. He suffered and lost much, everything, and all of it was out of his control. But it wasn't because he had did anything wrong. It's because God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? His wife even said, curse God and die. But before we come down on her, remember, she had just lost all 10 of her children and was watching Job, her husband, deteriorate in front of her. We often lose it over little small things that happen to us. I don't think I could have dealt with stuff like Job here, many of which we call the things, the trials, the problems, the issues. Many of them we call. Some of them we blame on Satan. Some of them we blame on other people. But how many know? We still go to God and pray for him to help us. Lord, get us out of this. And not just get me out of it, but get me out of it right now, God. Lord, help me to trust you to see me through this. What did Jesus have to say about peace? John 14:26-27, King James, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. How open are we to the Holy Ghost leading and guiding our lives on a daily basis? 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus was telling them that he was going away and that he had to go away and that they should be rejoicing that Jesus was going to the Father. But how many know they were not rejoicing? John 14:29 says, And now, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Then Jesus turned the table on them in John 16:31-33. Jesus answered them. He said, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. No matter what we go through, no matter what we're battling, no matter what issues come up in our lives, we have to remember that the Father is with us. These things I have spoken unto you, 33, unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Oh, hallelujah. Be of good cheer. We know the trials and tribulations are going to come, but don't give up hope. Don't lose your faith. Continue to trust God and believe him. Now, Brother Gerald was all in the message while he was praying this morning. I'm like, wow. Do we trust God? Do we believe God will see us through? April 5th, 2023, I had a total knee replacement. April 9th, 2023, Easter Sunday, I went to emergency and found out I had a blood clot. April 12th, but let me back up before I even talk about April 12th. It was a blessing that I found out I had a blood clot. It was a blessing that they were able to treat the blood clot. It was a blessing that the blood clot did not move. Oh, praise the Lord. April 12, 2023, I came home from the hospital and was very thankful. I missed therapy all the time in the hospital and another 6 days. How many know? That made my knee get stiff as a board. Outpatient therapy started with very little success. Almost a week later, May 15, 2023, I started outpatient therapy, even after having therapy a few times at home, and it was not successful. So May 16, 2023, I was taken to emergency for some other issues. They kept me in the hospital 10 days. I was released on May 26, 2023. I wasn't able to restart therapy again until June 9th. I have had to learn patience through all of this and not to question God. I've had to continue to have hope through all of this and not lose my faith. I've had to be careful what I say versus what is going on. I've had prayer and laying on of hands before surgery, since the surgery. Many people, pastors and intercessory prayer groups are praying on my behalf. I pray for others in the hospital and out of the hospital for their healing, their issues, and their families. I'm still learning patience and trusting God in all of this as I go through this test. I ask that you pray for my physical and mental strength, for the therapy and the exercises that I have to do. Continue to pray for my wife, Cheryl. She was just released from the hospital last night. I thank God for Yolanda, my daughter, who has really stepped up to the plate of helping to take care of me during this time. My sister Jocelyn, for all that both of them have done during this time. And Keith, my son. Martell, my brother, for all that they have done. But my sister Jocelyn and my daughter Yolanda have stepped up beyond. They've stepped up beyond. Praise the Lord. May God continue to bless each one of them in a very special way. I thank God for Pastors Granberry, Porter, Holland, Tony Kemp, Mike Kay, Pastor Mack, Elder Higgins, Elder Humphrey, Gerald Overall, Deacon Wendell Meeker, for your prayers and encouragement. And I believe in the power of prayer and the supernatural power of God for my total healing. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Bless the name of God. I thank God for the special cards that I received from Pastor O and Sister Sheila. That's BHG, Sister Sheila, BHG. Pastor Gerald knows what that stands for, and I'll leave that there. During this time, I've missed the funerals of several people. My best friend, William Billy Brown, died. Sister Shirley Golston from Mount Zion. We worked with the children's ministry and drove kids out of town consistently and often and chaperoned them, sometimes with a week or two. Praise the Lord. My cousin, daughter Yvette Keys, passed. Pastor Gary Shipley, another friend, Harold Pierce, two classmates, Renee Carter and Kenneth Cleveland, who, a.k.a. known as Football, is in Florida. His services will be held on June 26, 2023. And today, Elder Clinton Cooper, services going on right now. Pray for all these families. And pray for these families and all families that are in the process and going through the process of grieving. I mention them because they were special in my life. But you know, I thank God he woke all of us up this morning. I thank God he woke all of us up this morning. I want you to think about that. We all have so much. We have so much. We have many, many, and many things to thank God for today and every day of our lives. Oh, bless his holy name. We are here to continue in the purpose God has for each one of us. We're here to continue in the purpose God has for each one of us. Amen. Not our plan, but his holy, perfect plan, who the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us to, who God will help us, help see us through. Yes, Lord. Remember, their song says, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Oh, praise the name of God. So what are you doing for Christ? Is what you're doing for Christ what good will have you to do? I bless you, praise you on the internet. Is what you're doing for Christ, is what he would have you to do, are you being a blessing? Like my brother, Elder Clinton Cooper. Are you looking out for others and not just self? Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know what your challenges are, but God does. God knows our ending from our beginning and everything that's in our dash. So let me say that again. God knows our ending from our beginning and everything in the dash. Offer God the sacrifice of praise in your life today. Start it right now and be thankful. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. With his stripes we are healed. By whose stripes ye were healed, are and were is already done. Let me say that again. Are and were is already done. Pray my spiritual strength to continue to praise, trust, and give God thanks during this recovery process. Where is your peace? Who is your peace? Our peace is in our praise to our God. Stop. Can we evaluate our praise, thanksgiving, and sacrifice? Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, not when we feel like it, not if we think about it, not just on Sunday. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. By Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, and not daily sacrifices of animals, which could never take away sins. Date commentary. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Sacrifice of praise to God continually will have God well pleased. Don't wait till Sunday to praise. Praise God right now. Praise God continually. Pastors, praise teams, worship leaders, stop. Stop begging people to praise the Lord. God's already said it, that everything on this earth and everything that we can see praises God in some way or another. If we haven't done it during the week, we're cold wood being placed on a hot fire on Sunday morning. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name is what God expects us to do every day. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Is God satisfied with your praise? Is God satisfied with your thanking, thanksgiving? Is God satisfied with the sacrifices of praise that you offer him, that I offer him, that we offer him on a daily basis? If he's not satisfied, then we got some work to do. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord for everything that he has done for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Cardinal, my Cardinal, it was so good to hear your voice. Oh, my goodness, and to know all of what you've gone through and been going through. And Lord have mercy, still standing strong enough to bring us a word like that today. We are so thankful for you. We will continue to pray for you and your family and your strength mentally, physically, but most of all spiritually. We thank you for the time and the opportunity that you still gave to us today to bring us an amazing word that was not only touching but also convicting. But we do, because we do have to focus on what it is that we're doing for the Lord and how it is that we're being grateful for all that he's done. Are we? Are we grateful enough? Are we doing what he's asking us to do? Or are we just mulling through this life, complaining about everything and not being grateful? So we just thank you for the word. We are grateful to have heard your voice today. We are so thankful for everything that you have said to us today. And again, we will continue to keep you and your family lifted up in prayer. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Hey, y'all. It's Saturday. I think it's like the third Saturday in June. I don't know. My time is just a little off. But nevertheless, y'all know who this is. And you're about to get some announcements. Now, your announcements today are not going to be in true crystal form just because things are still a little off with me. So I am going to read the announcements that my pen pal sent me, just like she sent them to me. And then next week, you'll probably get, like, my version of the announcements. Amen. Amen. So, good morning, everybody. Just a couple reminders that the entire month of June, we will celebrate the men of God dedicated to our men for Father's Day, don't forget, which is tomorrow, Sunday, June 19th. We will have our own assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate, to bring the word for Father's Day, and closing out the celebration of this month will be our own Pastor O, which will be the following Sunday. Amen. And so all of our services are held at River Rouge High School in River Rouge, Michigan, in the LGI Auditorium. Do not forget that our Sunday school does begin at 9 a.m., taught by Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, and our worship service begins at 10 a.m., and of course, we are led by our amazing praise team in song before we get into the word. Amen. So Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we have our new Bible class. It has begun. A textbook is required for the class. If you plan to be in attendance, check with Pastor O for a book. He has one book available. So please read the assignments before each class and answer the questions that each chapter's in for discussion. And Pastor O will be teaching this Monday. And again, the classes are held on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Amen. Please do not forget, on Tuesdays at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesday at 6 p.m., our Bible reading class is held on Blog Talk Radio. This week, Pastor O doing a lot. Pastor O is going to be teaching in the book of Zechariah, chapters 1 through 7 this week. The questions are printed online for discussion, and they will be on the table on Sunday. That folder is usually by me on the table in a bright yellow folder. So
If you don't want to get them online, just make sure you grab a copy from the yellow folder tomorrow. Don't forget, excuse me, on Fridays at 7 p.m., we have Deaconess Kathy Clyburn with her show, Bring Back the Family. She is the host, so make sure to tune into that. As you did hear today in Pastor's prayer slash sermon, and Elder Joseph Stevens' sermon, that we are sending our condolences out to Gwen and the entire Cooper family as they eulogize Clinton Cooper today. The services, again, have already begun. They did start at 11 a.m., so please keep the family of Clinton Cooper lifted up in your prayers, his wife Gwen, and everyone else, family, children, friends, things like that, as well as all of those who are grieving. Minister Elder Joseph Stevens gave a long list of friends and loved ones that he's lost. And while he's been going through his thing, he hasn't been able to, you know, pay his last respects to some people who have been very close to him. So we also want to keep their families lifted up in prayer. Again, as the prayer list, Elder Joseph Stevens, who at first had said he was in the hospital, I said, dang, my cardinal's still up in that hospital. But then my pen pal sent me an update saying he is at home recuperating and he is preaching today. And praise God, that is exactly what he did. So we are so excited, again, to hear his voice, and we keep him and his family lifted up in prayer. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, Ed Johnson, Darius Freeman, and Keila Freeman, who will be having surgery in August. All of the caregivers, nurses, aides, and doctors everywhere. Also, our president and our leaders of this country and of our communities. Amen. Happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who have celebrated this month. Happy birthday to Mother Cheryl, who celebrated on the 6th. Keila Freeman, who celebrated on the 6th. Our favorite president, Sharon Abraham, celebrated on the 14th. Deacon Eric Reed celebrated on the 15th. Naomi Carter is going to be celebrating on the 21st. Deaconess Leachers Cowan is celebrating on the 22nd. I think there might be a birthday or two that I have on my list that may not be on this one, but that's okay. Happy birthday to y'all, too. I said next week I'll be back to normal, so we'll make sure to call those people off. Because in my mind, I feel like it's one or two that are not on the list, but that's okay. Happy birthday to each and every one of you, of course. Amen. So we do want to remind you to please check the Run for Christ Ministries website for detailed information about everything that we got going on at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. There's classes, services, everything that we do here on Blog Talk Radio is recorded, archived, and free. And so we do want to say that Pastor O does a lot of work daily to keep up our church website, and he is looking for a dedicated, committed person to assist him with this. Now, I have already sent Pastor O an email about somebody that I know, so when he get that and he figure that all out, then we'll go from there. But contact Pastor O if you want to help him update the website and keep the church website together. That's one less thing that Pastor O has to do. We know his plate is full, and he is like an octopus times two, because like an octopus is like, what, 8 tentacles? So Pastor O got like twice the amount. I'm not really sure what the name of that will be if you got 16 tentacles, but nevertheless, Pastor O is all across the board and doing a lot. So if he can get some help with the church website, that's one less thing that he has to maintain. Amen. And so we do want to acknowledge again that this is Father's Day weekend. Tomorrow is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all of the fathers everywhere. You know, sometimes I think that men don't understand how important their role is in the family. Some men don't understand that even though they're not perfect and they may have made some mistakes or have done some things wrong, that they still have a position as the head of their household. And so we do, again, want to acknowledge all fathers everywhere. Webster's definition of a father is a male parent and a provider. The biblical perspective of a father is the first person of the Trinity. Our opening prayer begins, "Our Father in heaven," reminding us when Christians pray, they are addressing their daddy, their heavenly father. The first commandment with a promise attached, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life." God is looking for faithful men, responsible men. He wants a man after his heart. He wants Christian men that will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. So let's step up, men, and be all God wants us to be these last days. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day to all of the dads and uncles and brothers and stepfathers and bonus dads who have stepped up to raise children and raise and be good examples for kids in our community. We acknowledge you and we pray for you and we continue to ask God to bless you. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Push that. Okay, there we go. Oh, let me push this one.
You don't know how to work the switchboard after all these years.
Hey, I'm telling you, you know, Kat been doing this just for a little while, and she's good with the buttons. But every Sunday I get all twisted up. I can't even remember the right day, Saturday.
It's Saturday.
But anyway, I'm just over here pushing buttons.
It's all right.
As soon as you push the right one, the right thing happens. Do it. You only do this every week for 9, 10 years.
Exactly. And during the week, too, but we ain't counting them days.
Hey, man, I got your message, and I'm going to get with him on that. Okay. That is awesome. That is awesome. It's not really that hard. It's just,
no.
You know,
that's all right.
And it's about
it,
to get easier.
What.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it to where it's just cyclical and it just happens all by itself. But, you know, who knows that in this life nothing happens by itself. Wasn't it good to hear Elder Stevens today?
My God, Lord have mercy. It was wonderful because Cat was like, Pastor Jonathan Tate, and then you were like, no, Elder Pastor Jonathan Tate probably looking around like, wait a minute, me again? How awesome. That was amazing. That was amazing. That was just amazing. Listening to everything that he's gone through, and that was just a little snippet. That wasn't even like, no, for real, day-to-day, moment-by-moment, what I did. Yeah, it was
down.
Not that. Yes, but still,
I got surprised on yesterday. He gave me we talked, and you know, he got a new way of getting me to call him now because everybody knows that I'm call people back challenged. And he got a new way of doing it. He will text me and say, call me. And for some reason, I call. And there we
That's
go.
Right.
But if he calls
the
me, he get the routine. He get my guy who answers for me sound just like me.
Hello.
And he works for
Hello.
Free, so I let him do all the calls. Because he likes doing it. He can't wait that fourth ring, and he like, boom, pass those
yeah,
to
he
help
won't
me right
call
now.
Back,
but I'm past those.
He won't call back, though.
He ain't going to call back. He just lied to you.
No.
On his phone. He just lied to you.
See, he sure did.
Time, you need to take that off. I'll call you back. Because you don't call nobody back.
Yep.
I'm like,
don't
Lord, you know
it.
I'm learning. I'm learning, Jesus.
Yes, praise the Lord.
I've only been
Amen.
In this since 08, so.
It's okay.
Amen.
It's all right. The one day at a time.
We're making it. Oh, boy.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate
You're
you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Amen. Have an excellent,
Amen.
Awesome weekend and all that good
I
stuff.
Sure will.
Get
sure
some
will.
Victories.
Going right back to them covers. I'm going back to the covers. I need a couple
I
more
am
hours.
Still impressed. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I'm still impressed. I'm still reeling. Amen.
Amen.
I want some of that keep going stuff.
Anyway. Oh, Jesus. Help, Lord.
No, Jesus is like, well, then I'll let you go through what she's been through. I'm like, never mind, Jesus. I'll take her testimony. That's cool.
Oh, help, Lord. I'm telling you.
Thank you, Crystal,
Amen.
Again. Appreciate
You're welcome.
You. You tell
Absolutely.
Mira, I say, what's up?
Amen, I shall.
Amen. Wow, I'm about to click the wrong button again. Me and these buttons. But anyway, thank you. See you later. Love you. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. And we really do. I'm not just saying that because you don't have to, but you do. It's Saturday. We got a lot to do. We're always doing a lot. So we just thank God that you decided to spend this time with us. And we always remind you to tell somebody else it's happening. If they didn't listen to the live show, as Crystal says, they're recorded and archived. You can listen to them 24/7, 365, over, I don't know, 1,700 shows, something like that. But anyway, it's all there and it's all free. Amen. Take advantage of it. Again, keep the Cooper family in your prayers. His wife, Gwen, and family and friends, keep them in your prayers. And all of those who we know are on our prayer list, and I always mention to God and those I don't know. You know, even when the ambulance go by, I pray for them that they get where they're going safely, and I pray that the person in there get healed. So Paul says, pray for us and for every Christian everywhere, because we're all going through it. Some of us just, amen, we look like we're not, but we are, amen. So pray for everybody who's in the body of Christ, because we're in the devil's world and he don't like us. And so every morning we wake up, we might not wake up thinking we're on the battlefield for the Lord, but we are. And they're on their game. They don't ever sleep. So they clown all day and night. And they're on their thing to turn people from God. We're supposed to wake up and be on our thing to turn people to God. So we're in the Satan's world, who he's trying to turn people from God. And we're here on behalf of the kingdom of God, to turn people toward God, bring them into the kingdom, snatch them right out of Satan's grip. That's our job. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. And have yourselves a wonderful day. Let me get this benediction. And you want to hear this last song. Now, I want you to know, do not click out before you hear this last song. Elder Stevens and I talked yesterday, and we talked this morning, but we did not talk about what he was going to be preaching about. The Lord came to me earlier this week and said, I need you to go and load this song. And then I kept wondering when he wanted me to play it, and he said, no, not that one, not yet. But when you hear this song and when you hear what Elder Stevens preached, you're going to know that the Holy Ghost is all over running for Christ, and he's running things. Amen? Because we don't even have to talk to each other and end up on the same page. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. Now listen to this song that the Holy Ghost picked earlier this week, even before Elder Stevens and I had our first conversation.
May our God bless us with grace, mercy and peace. And may we always find more room around God's feet, where there is complete rest from the cares of this world. For every woman, man, boy and girl, I pray we are blessed with God's grace.
Can see it on YouTube.
I receive it.